Buddha as a great teacher. In fact, Buddhism is spread far and wide in India within a short period of time. Thousands of human beings embraced Buddhism and they declared themselves to follow the noble path of the Buddha. Many of these people who came to the Buddha at very beginning, at the beginning of the dispensation of the Buddha, they came from upper class, from well-to-do families. Many of these people were intellectuals, highly educated, very rich people. Kings, princes, and the merchants and the Brahmins who are well educated, they all came to the Buddha and became the followers. Many of them also gave up their status, their wealth, power, and they started to follow the noble path by becoming monks and nuns. The most powerful kings in the time of the Buddha, who ruled greater part of ancient India, King Bimbisara, King Kosala, King Ajatasattu, King Udayana, all these great kings became the faithful followers of the Buddha. Great wealthy people, like billionaires Anathapindika, Mendaka, Purnavardhana, and the ladies like Visakha, the Queen Mallika, such wealthy people, the billionaires and merchants, business people, they too came to the Buddha and became his followers. Learned Brahmins like Sariputta, Moggallana, Kassapa, Kacchana, such learned Brahmins, many of them came and became monks and follow his teaching. Those who are very well famous, debaters, expounders of the various doctrines, those who came with the intention of defeating the Buddha, finally they became Buddha's disciples and followers. People who always came with the questions, and after Buddha answered their questions, they became peaceful and expressed their happiness and joy and accept the Buddha as his teacher. So within a very short period of time, Buddhism became the most popular teachings in ancient India. And in fact, it became the most dominant and prominent religion in the time of the Buddha. But how did the Buddha become so successful? What is the secret behind this success of Buddhism? Buddhism is one of the most successful religion in the world today. Among major religions, Buddhism is one of them. Buddhism is still spreading and still getting popular even today. The Buddhism is still spreading every nook and corners of the world. But it follows its own way, the way of peacefulness. Buddhism spread far and wide in the world in a peaceful way. Not a single drop of blood was shed in the process of spreading Buddha's teaching. Not a single king, emperor, waged a war in the name of Buddhism with the intention of spreading the teachings. even though the Buddha had his disciples as kings, he never used political power to spread his teaching. Then, what is the success behind this spreading of Buddhism all over the world? Eventually, whole Asia became Buddhist. There are two major reasons why Buddhism became so popular and spread all over the world, and still it is getting popular and spreading everywhere. What are these two reasons? Number one, the message that the Buddha proclaimed to the world is very central to human beings. He addressed most fundamental issue of the human beings, which is the problem of suffering. So the Buddha's teaching centralized in this main problematic issue that all the human beings try to settle: dukkha, unsatisfactoriness. All the human beings wants to be happy, peaceful and joyful, but they do not know how to achieve it. So Buddha came out with the answer, how to achieve perfect bliss and happiness by ending dukkha. And this is the first reason why the Buddhism is applicable to all human beings, no matter what region or what caste or ethnic groups that we are coming from. This teaching is equally applicable to all the human beings. The universal approach to the problem of suffering. The second most important factor lies the success behind the Buddha's teaching or spreading it in the world is Buddha's great ability as a teacher. In the human history or in religious history, we do not come across someone equal to Buddha. Buddha is recognized Acharya Manusa, a wonderful human being. Name Acharyo Atti Sadisamena Vijjati. His own words, you do not have a teacher and there is no equal to him. So in the world of religions, in its history, we do not come across any religious teacher who can be compared with Buddha's ability in teachings, in expounding his message in such a way. No matter what, you can go and explore. Because of that, in fact, Buddha is recognized as a supreme teacher. He has got two wonderful abilities to make him to become a supreme teacher. One ability is his incomparable ability to train the human beings to be tamed. Earlier we recited, he is the incomparable trainer of human beings to be tamed. He has got that ability. Then he also got the ability to teach both humans and divines, and he is known as Satta Deva Manusanam, the teacher of gods and humans. He earned this title through his skills. Now, when we talk about Buddha's great abilities as a teacher and his success, we need to understand something more than this. Not forgetting, he is an enlightened teacher, the Buddha, awakened one. He is awakened teacher, means freed from all the defilements and achieved the enlightenment. So he is full of wisdom. So his wisdom that leads to the discovery of this precious Dhamma, which is the liberating truth, is proclaimed to the world by the Buddha out of great compassion. When Buddha teaches the Dhamma to the world, he did not have any ulterior motives. He did not teach for the sake of achieving wealth, power, popularity, or any other worldly gains. In fact, he teaches out of great compassion. He taught out of great compassion to the other human beings to achieve the enlightenment, find the peace. Santoso Bhagava Samataya Dhammam Deseti. The Buddha, having achieved perfect peace, he teaches the Dhamma to the other human beings for the purpose of achieving perfect peace. Dantoso Bhagava Damataya Dhamman Deseti. Having tamed himself perfectly, he teaches the other human beings how to tame down themselves and become better human beings. Bodhoso Bhagava Bodhaya Dhamman Deseti. Having achieved perfect understanding, he teaches the Dhamma in such a way that the other human beings will understand and become wise human beings. Parinibbutoso Bhagava Parinibbanaya Dhamman Deseti. Having achieved perfect cessation from all the sufferings and having uprooted the defilements, he teaches the Dhamma to the other human beings for the sake of eradication of defilements and ending the suffering. Release from the suffering. So Buddha taught out of compassion. His motivation factor is compassion, nothing else. But not only that, in fact, we can see that when the Buddha sent the monks to the world to teach, in fact, he is the first religious teacher in the history who sent the missionary monks to teach, to spread his message. So he is the first messenger, in fact, who dispatched his enlightened disciples in different directions. And before he dispatched these enlightened monks, he said, Charata bhikkhave charikam bahujana hitaya bahujana sukaya attaya hitaya lokanukampaya. Monks, go forth and teach the Dhamma out of compassion for the well-being and happiness of multitudes. Teach the Dhamma which is excellent in the beginning, excellent in the middle, excellent in the end. Out of compassion for gods and humans. So that was the message Buddha gave to his first enlightened disciples before he dispatched them to the world to teach the Dhamma. So he motivated by compassion. So one of the strong factor that leads to success of the Buddha's the mission of his spreading the Dhamma, his own compassion to the world. And also we can see the Buddha's great ability as a teacher and his teaching methods. In fact, he is a wonderful teacher and he has got wonderful ability to teach. He used various methods and means to teach different people. He used stories, poems, parables, similes, metaphors, and he asked questions, engaged in dialogue, discussions, and even in debate. But he used all these methods to teach the Dhamma. And when he teach Dhamma using these methods, in fact, he taught in a such a way that people will understand this deep doctrine, sublime teachings. So he always used the parables and similes and the various other ways that will be easier for the people to understand. When he talks about don't do evil things because evil actions will follow you and will give you the negative results, he says, Chakkang avahato padang. Unwholesome karmic energy will follow, like the wheel follow the hoof of the ox who is drawing the cart. When he talks about the benevolent, beneficial result of good actions, he says, Chayavanapayini, like your own shadow, the merits will follow you. When he talks about wise people who understand the Dhamma quickly, he says, Jiva Suparatangyata, like the tongue, understand the taste quickly, wise one will understand the Dhamma. And he compared those people who know the Dhamma but do not practice like cowherds. Yata dandene gopalo gao pachiti gocharang evang jaracha machucha gao pachiti. He says that just like a cowherd will lead the cows to eat the grass to the field, and through our old age and sickness, we eventually will end in death. So in this way, he is using these similes and parables and many other methods. He tried to teach the Dhamma to us. In fact, sometimes he did not give long talks. He sometimes gave us the brief opportunities to realize the Dhamma by ourselves, by asking a question or throwing a question to think. One day, Prince Abhaya came to the Buddha with his little son. And that was the time that Venerable Devadatta created schism in the Sangha, and Buddha in fact has said, as a result of this action, Devadatta will be born in the hell. But then some people said, Buddha has said that Devadatta will be born in the hell. That is not good. It's kind of harsh words. So the Prince Abhaya heard this, and Prince Abhaya came to the Buddha and asked the Buddha, Venerable Sir, is it possible that the Buddha has spoken some words which can hurt the other people? Then without answering to this question, the Buddha asked a question from this prince. He said, Prince Abhaya, suppose your little son now were to take a stone and put into his mouth, and what would you do? Then Prince Abhaya said, the Lord, I will quickly take out that stone. But the Buddha said, but by that process you will hurt the child. The child will undergo pain and suffering because the stone is in his throat. But the prince said, even though the child were to bleed and cry in pain, I will still take out that. Why? Because I love my child. I have compassion towards the child. Then the Buddha said, exactly so. Exactly so. I too sometimes use harsh word, but not with evil intention, out of compassion for the world, to encourage the people. So in such a way, Buddha tried to teach. One day, Kisa Gotami, another woman who had got only one child, all of a sudden child died, and she could not bear it. She was so upset, started crying and weeping and carrying her child, and she went from doctor to doctor and asked the medicine. Nobody could give the medicine. But there was one wise man, he said, you must go to the Buddha. Perhaps Buddha may be able to give you the medicine. So when this lady came with the dead child asking the medicine from the Buddha, Buddha did not tell that I cannot cure your child. But Buddha said, well, I can cure your child if you can bring me some mustard seed from a house where nobody died. Then eventually she went to the capital city of Savatthi, and she went to every house, and of course everybody offered her mustard seed, but in every house there was somebody already died. Some said my grandfather died, some said my grandfather's father died. In this way, she could not find any house where the death did not occur. She came to realize by herself, the death is a natural phenomena, not only for my son, but I too will die. And she eventually became a nun. So such is the Buddha's ability to teach. And in this way, in fact, Buddha propagated the Dhamma. So his wonderful ability and the method he used as a teacher. Usually when the Buddha come across someone, he will use anupubbhikatha. It means gradual talks. It is said he will start with the general topics first, like talking about dana, the benefits of practicing dana, charity. Then he will talk about the benefit of upholding righteous principle, sila. Then he will talk about the joy, bliss, happiness in heavenly world. Then he will talk about, in fact, still the danger of the desire, even though there is bliss and happiness in this heavenly realm. Once we attach to these pleasure because of desire and its danger, then the Buddha will talk about the bliss and happiness of destroying the desire. And if he noticed that the listener is ready and his mind is clear, and then he will teach the unique exposition only to unique to the Buddhas, the unique teaching, Ariya Satya, Four Noble Truths. And at that kind of occasions, the most of the time, the listeners will understand the Dhamma and they will realize the Dhamma. So in this way, the Buddha will teach gradually, not at once. He will not teach dependent origination or the Four Noble Truths and such deep doctrines to everyone. But he will see the ability, capacity of the listener. So this is again the Buddha's great ability to understand the listener and teach accordingly. This is another reason why Buddha was successful as a great teacher. In fact, here there are Buddha's two extra abilities. Pubbe nivasanusati jnana. The Buddha has got the ability to read the past lives of a person who is in front of him. In thus, he could understand in previous lives what kind of tendencies, abilities, faculties that this human being has cultivated. He also got another ability to read the thoughts of others. So when Buddha teach to the person who is imprint of him, he can understand his mind. So because of these extra abilities, Buddha could teach what exactly is needed for that human being to be awakened. Usually the Buddha will teach the Dhamma in such excellent way that which will fit to the listener, and the listener will quickly understand the teachings. For example, if he were to come across a farmer, he will talk about farming, and then he will use the terminology of farming and apply the Dhamma, and like a farmer who prepare the ground and then the plant the seed and harvest the crops, in the same manner the Buddha will teach how you can prepare your mind and uproot evil and plant good seed, and eventually how to achieve enlightenment. And if you would like to read more, you can refer to Kasi Bharadvaja Sutta. Once the Buddha came across a farmer, how he taught the Dhamma. Because this farmer said, I work hard and earn and eat. You too go and work hard and earn. The Buddha said, I to work hard. Then the farmer said, tell me how do you work hard? Then the Buddha explained how he cultivate the spiritual faculties and achieve enlightenment. So the farmer was so happy and he got a bowl and fill it up with lot of food and gave to the Buddha. Buddha said, I don't want your food. I'm not here to take your food by chanting the verses. Yeah, there's a very interesting dialogue. Anyway, you can read about it. At the end, this farmer became a monk and became enlightened. Another occasion when the Buddha came across a horse trainer whose name was Kesi. Buddha used the way how training the horse can be applied to the training of human beings. So Buddha asked a simple question. Kesi, tell me, how do you train the horses? Then the Kesi said, Venerable Sir, I train the horses in different ways. I train them in a soft way. Then if a horse does not undergo the training in a soft way, I use the harsh way. I beat them, use the cane. Then sometimes I use the both way, soft and harsh way. Then the Buddha said, well, but still there can be horses which cannot be trained at all. Then the Kesi said, in that case, I kill them. Which is true. Even today they do it, correct? Those who know the about the horses, how they train, and the you might know that horses are killed even today for such reasons. Why, he said? Because if there is a horse which doesn't undergo the proper training, it is in fact disgrace to my clan, to my teachers. So I will kill that horse because this horse cannot be trained. Then he asked the question from the Buddha. Buddha, I have heard that you are a supreme trainer of human beings to be tamed. How do you train your monks and nuns? Then Buddha said, well, I train the monks and nuns in soft way, giving them advice and with so much love and compassion. I also train them in harsh way, sometimes, you know, giving some training rules and making them undergo the training. I use both soft and harsh ways. Then the Kesi said, well, there can be some monks and nuns who cannot be trained. What do you do? He said, I kill them. Then said, for sure Buddha doesn't kill human beings. Then the Buddha said, killing in the Buddha's teaching means here, I give up him. So if any teacher were to give up you, it means no more exist. So the Buddha said, I train the human beings in this way, but if any human beings does not undergo the training, cannot be on the training, then he give up. That's it. So in this way, the Buddha tried to teach the Dharma in different ways. When he came across a goldsmith one day, and he talked about how purifying the gold, and similar to purifying the mind and achieve enlightenment. One day when he came across a musician who used to play ancient Indian sitar, a kind of musical instrument, and he used the musical knowledge and apply it to how the middle path can be applied to train the human mind. In this way, Buddha's wonderful ability to adopt and adjust and teach the people in a such a way they can understand. So Buddha's wonderful ability and method as a teacher and as a communicator made him a great teacher, a successful a religious figure that managed to spread his Dharma throughout the world. So this is another reason why the Buddha was so popular and became so successful. So in this way, when we in fact understand his the skills as a teacher, there was no one comparable with his abilities in his time. And even today, when we look at him and his abilities, we still cannot find anyone. So he is in fact unique as a teacher. So Satta Deva Manusanang, teacher of gods and human beings. And not forgetting, he is always motivated by compassion. There is one extra reason, another reason perhaps might be important and worth to be mentioned, and which can be recognized as part of his success. It is his dedication. He was available at any time to be approached and ask any question. He was never tired of teaching. He taught openly and freely without keeping any secret. He said, Nattananda tathagatesu dhammesu acharya mutti. Ananda, there is no secret teachings in Buddha's teaching. So he taught openly without keeping anything hide behind. And we can see in Mahaparinibbana Sutta, at the last minute when Buddha was about to pass away, one Brahmin, and he came running to the place where Buddha was about to pass away, because he heard Buddha has arisen in the world and now he has finished his teaching and he is going to pass away. Having heard it, he came. And Venerable Ananda and the other monks said, no, don't disturb the Buddha. He is very tired now. He is sick now. He is going to pass away. So don't disturb him. Buddha heard it. Then Buddha said, don't stop him. Let him come. So he came to the Buddha. He asked the questions. Buddha answered to his questions. He became a monk and became enlightened. That was Buddha's last disciple. The last disciple who became enlightened, and he was Subhadra. So even at the deathbed, Buddha did not hesitate to teach. Just before he passed away, he said to the monks, monks, if you have any questions before I pass away, please ask the questions. Monks were silent. For the second and third time, the Buddha asked, said the same thing. If you have any question, any doubt in your mind, do not regret later on. Ask it now. So in this way, Buddha always encouraged his disciples to learn the Dhamma and practice the Dhamma. So he is dedicated. So perhaps this is also one of a wonderful quality of the Buddha for his success. So his great compassion and his teaching methods, his skills as a communicator, to understand the state of the listener, and of course his dedication as a teacher, all together made him such a wonderful teacher, which is incomparable in human history.